Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aarti Pharma Labs Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Arjun Sompal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal, not Arjun, from Valorem Advisors. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the second quarter and first half of financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Chairman, and Mrs. Hetal Gogri-Kala, Vice Chairperson and Managing Director, Mr. Piyush Lakhani, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rashesh Gogri to start with his opening remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to everyone on Aarti Pharma Labs Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. I wish to cover initial thoughts on the performance, evolving market trends, and the outlook. The company operates in three distinct segments within the pharmaceutical industry, that is API and intermediates, CDMO, CMO, and Zanzine and intermediate business, each playing vital role in the growth. The company is actively engaged in production and sales of API-related intermediates, adhering to the regulatory standards as a primary focus is on selling in the regulated market, and for the Q2, we have sold almost 58% of intermediates and APIs in these segments to the regulated market. In CDMO-CMO business, strong scale-up and commercial manufacturing expertise of over two decades is helping us to enhance customer confidence in us. The company also prioritizes sustainability and responsible business practices. In line with this, we received an EcoVadis Silver Medal rating in first assessment of one of our Xanthine plants. We are now diligently working to extend this recognition to the entire corporate entity, indicating the commitment to greener and more responsible future. Let me now cover the key performance highlights of Q2 FY24. On a quarter-on-quarter basis, our consolidated revenues declined by about 4% to Rs. 441 crores, whereas the consolidated EBITDA increased by 4% to Rs. 89 crores on the back of improvements in margin. And consolidated profit after tax stood at 52 crores, higher by 10% over previous quarter. The consolidated EPS for the quarter gone by was 5.78. Now let me share some updates on the projects that commenced and operations in the recent past. The Greenfield project in Atali, Gujarat is making significant progress with a completion target of H2 FY25. The project to manufacture the primary raw material for Xanthine products is set to begin operations in the current quarter, reducing import dependency. The company is also developing a semi-commercial production block at our USFDA intermediate manufacturing sites in Vapi, to cater to smaller batch sizes requirement and aiming at completion in Q2 FY25. These initiatives exemplify company's commitment to expansion, self-reliance, and catering to the diverse customer needs. In closing, with the current stable demand outlook, we expect to be on track to meet our guided EBITDA growth of approximately 10 to 15% in FY24 and remain well positioned to achieve our long-term goals. We strongly believe in India's growing potential in various pharmaceutical products. Leveraging our strengths in specific chemistries and deep understanding of the market dynamics, we are poised to deliver strong performance in the coming years. expect the introduction of high quality products driven by core R&D expertise, solidifying our leadership in the market and creating an enduring value for our long term stakeholders. I will now request moderator to open the forum for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Well, my first question is with regards to Zentin. If you could share the volume growth in the current half year and also the prices of Zentin, and our evaluations are down by what kind of percentage compared to last year, and have those stabilized and do we expect them to move up going ahead?
See, as a practice, we are not diverging our numbers and the realization, but we are operating our plant at full capacity and full enhanced capacity. So currently, that is what I can share with you. Overall, we are seeing some reduction in pricing of the final products, and also we are also seeing some reduction in the raw material costs simultaneously. So we are to retain overall contribution margins for this product.
No, I do understand. So, but it, rough ballpark figure, what, how much would be the relation down compared to last year?
Realization on an average basis, we don't have that information ready, but it would be some 10 to 15% in terms of pricing.
And sir, our backward integration was expected to start in quarter two, which is delayed by say 1 or 2, 3 months. That's fine. But with that backward integration, what kind of margin impact or what kind of benefits we could derive from that, apart from supply consistency on the raw material side?
Yeah, the project which was supposed to start in this quarter is on track to start, and it will basically reduce our dependency on the import substitute, and that is what is our request from the customers, that they want completely independent manufacturing out of China with no China presence, and going to achieve the I don't think there will be a great impact on the overall margin or the contribution by doing this in the initial stage. But once if we ramp up the production of that side, then ultimately we could see some benefit.
Sure. Last question, sir. With regards to the guidance, in your initial commentary as well as the presentation, you have maintained that the current year, FY24, our absolute EBITDA growth will be around 10 to 15%. But when we obviously, due to the Zentin price, that growth has not been there. It actually means somewhere in the next two quarters, we'll need to do about 100 plus or 105 crores around EBITDA on a quarterly run rate compared to the 85 crores in the quarter two. So what could drive that EBITDA growth in the second half?
Yeah, so basically all the three segments that we perform above, of course, you know, Zentin segment is where we are maintaining our contribution margins. But in other two segments, we expect the growth, particularly CDMO, CMO segment, as well as the API and intermediate segment.
And we expect the benefits also coming from the ramp-up of our CAPEX done?
Yeah. We will expect some benefits from that also. But though I think more benefit will also be in next year. But the benefit will start coming in H2 of this year, this financial year.
Sure. That's helpful, sir. Thanks, best wishes, and happy Diwali to you and your entire team.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Bhatia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Dhaval Shah this side. Thank you for the opportunity. So just extension of the last participant's question, the degrowth in the top line is driven by which segment for the quarter?
Yeah, the degrowth is basically the final product prices of xanthin has come down.
Okay.
For last two quarters. However, we also have the raw material price reduction.
Yeah. So we did 217 crores in xanthin for the quarter. So this entirely it's the xanthin segment which is driving the revenue down, right?
Yeah, specific numbers will have to be detailed, but if you compare the Q1 and the Q2, I think you will be able to get the numbers that where the xanthin segment stays.
Okay, and also your API segment is down by 10 crores Q1 and Q2. So it's the lower volumes?
Yeah, I think certain products dispatches could not happen in last quarter, which have happened in this current quarter. So basically some more inventory impact, though on the production front we could do more production. So there is some impact of that also.
Okay. And the backward integration of xanthine, is it same to the hydrogen, 9 hydrogen reactors which we are planning to add as per our annual report? Is it same to this xanthin thing only?
No. So that hydrogenator, we have already announced the capacity in last year, and now the announcement is basically for one of our basic raw material where we have dependency on China, and that is what we are trying to put up the capacity in our facility.
Okay. So the reactors are already added last year, 9 hydrogen reactors.
No. So, see, there is a xanthin plant has some hydrogenator reactions. Where the 9 hydrogenator reactors were put up in our custom synthesis plant, which is largely utilized for intermediates and CDMO, CMO production. So, they are two different assets.
Okay. So there's 9 reactors which you mentioned in the annual report that we are planning to add in FY24. So, and I think in Q2 it was written that it will be added. So is that added or that is also delayed?
No, that is added and they are operational. So now we have all the 9 reactors that are operational.
Okay, so it was added in Q2 itself, the 9 reactors.
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, when we do multi-step synthesis, some steps require hydrogenation.
Yeah.
Which require hydrogenation, we have to utilize that particular block where these hydrogenations are located. Equipment. Okay, and then we have to bring it back to our normal production block. So that is
okay. Understood. So now, sir, how should we understand the ramp up over the next two quarters in this CDMO and API business?
Yeah, basically we have strong pipeline overall of our orders. So on that basis, we are maintaining our guidance and you will see the growth in coming quarters.
Okay. And any thoughts on expanding the xanthin capacity?
Yeah, as I mentioned during the last call also, that we are evaluating several options of further enhancing the capacity. We would like to do it more as a brownfield expansion rather than a greenfield expansion, so that we achieve with the lowest possible capex maximum impact in terms of profitability and the production.
Okay. And the gross profit, what we've done in the September quarter of around 42.6%. Now, is this number sustainable or should we expect an increase in this number with this backward integration?
Now, backward integration is not going to have too much impact, particularly on this cash, because it is more for supply security, and it will avoid the price escalation of that particular intermediate that we are buying from China. It will prevent the suppliers to increase the price beyond certain band.
Acha.
Sort of an insurance for supply commitment at a reasonable price.
Okay, okay. Because even last year, December quarter, if we see the gross profit, there is a lot of, across the four quarters, the gross profit margins are different. So what would explain that? Assuming last year was a very volatile year in terms of raw material, and now this year there is some stability there. So at least this profit margins can we assume will be maintained?
No, so I don't know from where you are getting the gross profit margin, because I think what we have described is particularly the top line in the last quarter presentation, and the same is also shared today also in our
Fine, not for the last year, but at least for the current quarter numbers, which are, so do you see at least for the next 6-8 months the raw material scenario being stable, and you'll be able to maintain this EBITDA margin?
Yeah, we will be able to maintain the EBITDA margin.
Okay. And sir, and last question. Around you mentioned about adding those 28,000 liters of capacity as a brownfield at Vapi. When is that getting operational, and what is it exactly for? What are we adding there? Products?
As I mentioned in my opening remarks, it will be used for semi-commercial production, where we have to give the pilot batches or initial phase 2, phase 3 requirements of CDMO, CMO customers. So we will utilize that asset for manufacturing, because these orders are 10 kilos to 100 kilo, where we don't want to utilize our current commercial manufacturing assets. And this will get completed in Q2 of FY25. Yeah.
Okay, 25 Q2. Okay, interesting. Okay, I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Sharda from NT Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. One question, when I'm looking at the financials, it looks like the EBITDA or the profit contribution from subsidiaries has grown YOY quite sharply. So could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we have an associate company named Ganesh Polychem Limited, and they had strong set of numbers this quarter. And they are into a specialty intermediate which is used for pharma and the polymer. And it has a good, margins on the higher production and reduction in raw material cost.
Okay. Any particular products that they make, if you could name?
Yeah, they are making intermediates which are used in the polymer manufacturing. That is used for dialysis, other medical grade, as well as the other engineering usage.
Understand. And earlier you were saying that this U.S. subsidiary will be wound down over a period of time. So what is the status of that?
No, we will keep on operating the U.S. subsidiary, but only, the sales which RT Industries is using the U.S. subsidiary to continue the sales in U.S., once the RT Industries has their own subsidiary set up, the business will get transferred to that. Because currently we had only one common subsidiary, and as the business split, because we had a large caffeine stock and sell business in the US, so that subsidiary was kept as a part of Aarti Pharma Labs instead of Aarti Industries. So that's that.
Okay. So when is that the business transfer likely to happen?
I think next quarter financial year, you know, that will happen.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital.
Good evening, Rafesh Bhai and team. So my first question is on the Centene side. So sir, if you look at the industry structure, in India we command a very large market share. Even globally there are only a handful of players. Can you give us some insight into why it is, you know, such a consolidated industry, why new players are not coming, you know, what are the entry barriers, if at all? Some kind of, you know, talk about that would be useful.
Centene business is a regulated kind of a business where the approval process is long and you need to really have the facilities which are world class to meet the expectations of the customer. And that is one of the barriers. And also, you know, the approval cycle is quite long.
We are backward integrated.
Yeah, so that is another reason why we are able to successfully be the largest Indian player operating in India, where there are few players who are manufacturing in India, and of course there are many players in China. There is a diversity factor also. The customer would like to have a supplier from each region. So that is also playing a part in overall the business that we are doing in this sector.
Okay, got it. So I think I assume that the backward integration that we are doing will be for the entire 5,000 tons capacity, right?
Yeah, we will have capabilities to entirely get that in-house.
Okay. So I think you mentioned in the last call that we currently, you know, have around 15-20% market share. So with this backward integration in place, you know, will we be in a position to garner much higher market share? And if so, since we are operating at, you know, optimal capacity utilization, how do we position ourselves to kind of enable that higher market share?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, you know, we are planning to do a work on a brownfield expansion, which we want to do accomplish within 15 to 18 months window. And once we have that in place, once we have the approval, we will share the same with the investor community.
Okay, got it. Second question is on the API side. We completed a CapEx in last year. So in terms of ramp up, you know, I think we were expecting that from H2, the ramp up will start. So any updates on that and, you know, what kind of utilization we may look for in FY25?
Yeah, FY25 we will have almost full, we will be able to do 70% of capacity utilization in the new block, and a lot of customers have now been able to approve our this particular block for the existing product, and some of the new products also we are validating in this block in this H2. So that will give us this kind of utilization.
So what we are trying to do is that, Daniel, is we have multipurpose blocks. So the higher volume products are getting pushed to this newer block where we have higher volume reactors, and we have practically did a semi-dedicated assets. Whereas our flexible assets will get free, where we can take up newer product validation and the newer product, quantity expansion can happen there. So that is the plan, that large volume will move to this bigger block and smaller volume space will get created where we will use it for our new product.
So essentially for the existing product, the validation...
May we request you to return to the question queue for the follow-up questions?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Berman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have first couple of questions on caffeine. So first one is, Aarti's xanthine derivatives capacity during FY23 was at 4,000 metric tons. And average prices during FY23 were roughly $20 per kg. So that gives a potential of $80 million or roughly 600-650 crore, right? But the reported revenue is 855 crore for xanthine derivatives in FY23. So I just want to understand where is this difference coming from. That is number one. Yeah, if you can just explain.
Yeah, so in the xanthine derivative segments, apart from caffeine, we have some other products also, which are classified under the xanthine derivatives, and those products are also getting sold. So the number that you have is largely of the certain product capacity which we are sharing with you, which are quantifiable numbers, but it's part of some other products also which are in that category.
But this 4,000 metric ton includes the capacity for other products also, right? This was my understanding. And also, I believe the realization of other products also is similar. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But
there are certain intermediates also which we end up selling. So, of course, the final API capacities or the active capacities are in that number. But there are certain intermediates which we sell. And those also add up in terms of quantity and value.
Understood.
The quantity no, only the value.
Understood. And caffeine prices right now are down to 14 to 15 rupees per kg, while pre-COVID levels are $10 per kg, right? So can you just give some thoughts on the global supply-demand situation currently, and do you see prices moving back to the pre-COVID levels over coming quarters?
Yeah, so we expect a softening of the pricing of overall caffeine and xanthine in general. And also the raw material prices are also coming down. So this is, and then we have the expanded capacity. So all these three factors put together is what we are trying to manage our contribution and manage the business.
Understood. Also, sir, our domestic revenue across both the xanthine derivatives and API plus intermediates is down by 20% quarter on quarter. But we haven't really seen the domestic pharma demand reducing this quarter, right? Aarti Drugs, for example, reported a 10% increase in volumes from the domestic front. So what is the reason for our domestic business reducing 20% quarter-on-quarter? This seems like a huge drop.
Our endeavor is to have more and more regulated business. Okay. So that is where the different than Aarti Drugs. We are more of a regulated company, and even for domestic business, if you see the presentation, we also give the domestic customers who are eventually making the formulation and exporting it for regulated market also we are able to capture. So I think, you know, domestic revenue we are not very much concerned.
So basically you should not view domestic as primarily only domestic consumption. It is domestic sales because the companies which are generic like Cipla or Glenmark or Dr. Reddy's or Zydus, ultimately they end up exporting the product.
To regulated countries.
Yeah,
very clear. Just one, two more question on intermediates front. So on intermediates, can you please help us understand the nature of this business in slight more detail? So what kind of competition do you face, the complexity of molecules and your right to win, etc.? And also, I'd like to understand what percentage of your production is for captive consumption versus for third-party sales.
Yeah, so basically, we are operating API and intermediate business where intermediates are advanced intermediates or the regulated starting material, which can be used by the generic and the innovators for their final API production. So these are really advanced intermediates which require the regulatory filing and regulatory Sometimes they require regulatory filing also, like supplementary US EMFs or supplementary EDMF, etc. Yeah. So, looking at that, it's a complex nature. These are multi-stage products that we do manufacturing, and they are we do anti-cancer intermediates, we do anti-diabetic intermediates. So we do a varied range of intermediates manufacturing, and then we support all the vertically integrated companies with these intermediates for their launch of newer generics which are expiring in future. So that is our business model that we operate.
And sir, what's your what percentage of your production is for?
Sorry to interrupt. May we request you to return to the question queue for the follow-up questions?
Sure.
Thank you. The
yeah.
next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My question was on the CMO, CDMO segment. You know, in the last call, we had indicated that we're expecting a strong traction in the segment, and this is the segment is expected to contribute to 10% of our total top line in FY24. But if we see, you know, in Q2 and in the first half, you know, the contribution of the segment has remained stagnant, and in fact, there has been a, some degrowth in the segment if we compare it with the FY23 numbers. So, you know, do we expect significant ramp up in the CMO, CDMO segment in the second half of this year, and how should we look at the segment growth?
Yeah, as we mentioned earlier on our call, that we are looking at 10 to 12% of the overall business revenue from this segment, and I think we are on course for that number, and we will see some ramp up in the second half of this year. Yeah.
Sure. So, you know, overall, sir, if you can give, you know, how this business is shaping up for you know, medium to long term, you know, plus API going to be a major growth driver over the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, as I mentioned, you know, we are also mentioning the number of customers, number of products that are commercial, number of products that are in R&D or development phase. So those numbers have grown. In terms of the number of commercial products, that number we have increased by 2 over last quarter, and also the number of products in R&D have also gone up by 2. So we are working on significantly more number of products where we work on the development basis, and we work with... our team is working on more and more RFPs from the customers, and working with more and more innovators.
So, and, you know, normally this segment, if we look at, you know, CMO, CDMO companies, this segment has relatively high kind of margins of about, you know, 25-30% plus kind of margin. So in our case also, once this segment ramps up, you know, can this segment be generate this kind of EBITDA margins in the range of 25-30% or above?
Yeah, basically it depends on the mix of activities that you are engaged in. So we are a full service CMO where we do manufacturing for intermediates, manufacturing for API, manufacturing for key starting materials and regulatory starting materials all. So it depends on the mix that I am currently doing, and as we move up from a key starting material to regulatory starting material to API, the margins improve. Currently we are focusing on the products which are in phase 3 and then going for the approvals. And as the approvals will come, the products, if they get approved, we will have reasonable volumes. If we are able to successfully manufacture the product and keep the customer happy with our services.
So we had 14 products which were in the launch stage as with the innovator partners. You know?
Yes.
So how is it remains the same, or there has been some addition into that, or some products have being commercialized at the innovator end.
So in one quarter, it will not change. So 16 products that we are doing are commercial with the customer, and last quarter was 12, where the
14 was there.
Last quarter was 12, and this quarter the two products have increased, which are GMB products. So that's how the number is, which are under either under clinical phase or in phase 3 with the customer. So
okay, we have 16 commercialized and 14 under development.
Okay. Thank you and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Shenoy from AS Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sir, my first question is from the Zantin part. Typically, your beverage companies for supply side, this one they look for long-term contracts. So just wanted to understand on the Zantin side, is it do we mostly on the spot basis with these cola drink companies, or do we have some long-term contracts? And if it is so, like, how does the pricing work in that long-term contracts?
Yeah, currently we have long-term commitment with the customer, but the pricing is largely annual with the customers, which are long-term customers.
So the pricing is usually negotiated like in January, and so that is fixed throughout the year?
Yeah, there are certain caveats, but it is largely annual pricing.
Okay. And roughly like what the proportion will be annual versus what we are doing in Zantin business?
It the split changes from year to year. So we want to do more and more annual work, which is longer term, with our long-term partners.
Okay. So roughly around 50% will be annual contract?
The number for confidentiality reasons.
So now in this annual contract, if the pricing is fixed in the beginning, so then like how, like what visibility have you on the margins part? Because if the raw materials are in between, so how does it work? Or it goes up?
We have a mechanism to manage that. And I think further, we won't be able to dwell more into it for.
Okay, sure. My next question is from the CDMO part. So you mentioned about 14 products in phase, in the development phase. So does that mean it's phase 3? And do we have any like visibility of any product going into commercial in this year?
So we have 16 commercialized products and 14 under development, and these are at the various preclinical and clinical phase 1, 2, 3. And we are not saying that everything is in phase 3, but there are some which are in early phases also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And in the earlier calls, we had mentioned that we typically work more from phase 3 onwards. Now, we are developing a facility that will... for smaller molecules as well. So is there any change in strategy where we are started working on early stages also, or have you been doing that from before, or how does that work?
So basically for our API manufacturing assets, we work for preclinical and early phases, whereas for intermediates and KSM, RSM, regulatory starting material, KSM, GMP intermediates, we work largely on a later clinical phase or commercial projects.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pratik Bhatia from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Dhaval, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, one point I wanted to understand. We mentioned in the annual report that biosimilars and biologics led by patent expiry is an opportunity for us in CDMO, CMO business. So could you throw some light on it? Are we already doing those products? Some samples have we sent to the customer, or where are we on this?
No, we are setting up a new R&D lab, which is our third R&D lab, where we are recruiting scientists to carry out this kind of reactions, and particularly newer products which are more biotech, how do we participate in that product as a supplier of technology, you know, as a supplier of intermediates for that. Yeah, so these are peptides and other intermediates that we plan to attempt in this newer R&D lab.
Okay, so that is, it's still like 2 years away? The entire...
Next 2-3 years away.
Okay, okay. And across our both businesses, I mean, yes, in Xanthine, we know where we stand. In API intermediates and CDMO, CMO, sir, what is the right to win in terms of, you know, certain certain reaction capabilities, knowledge of chemistry? Are we there? What sort of, how much of the business would be coming from those exclusive business where Aarti Pharma Labs only has the know-how to make those products across both the businesses, or we are of the top 2-3 in India? You know, this will help us understand your strength better.
So Aarti Industries is operating largely in lifestyle. Aarti Pharma Industries is operating largely in lifestyle drugs. So these are antihypertensives, and these are CNS drugs. Also, we are operating particularly in the anti-asthma range.
Yes.
And also, we are operating in anti-cancer range of products. So these are steroids and anti-cancers are very exclusive production capabilities that we have, and also these lifestyle drugs that we produce are also multi-stage synthesis which require chiral synthesis and hydrogenation and enzymatic technology. So all that is making us more differentiated than the other players in the market, which are manufacturing large volumes of production.
Okay, so would we be the exclusive one in some of the products, or
no? Yeah, these are not the innovative products, so we can't be an exclusive one on any of these. But we have good market share in these products.
We have good market share. Okay, okay. And on the API side, see, in the past 20 years, we've commercialized around 50 APIs, and 10 are under development. Now the growth rate, what we see in the API business, is it going to be driven by this library of 50 plus 10 new products, or how should we see the growth rate in the API intermediate business? Because you always guide on the EBITDA growth rate at the company level, but at the segment level, how should we understand the growth is going to come for us?
Yeah, so basically that 50 has now become 54, and also the APIs under development have now grown also from 10 to 13.
Okay.
So that is the number that you have to watch. So the presentation that you were referring was an earlier part of presentation. Current number. So that is going to, so that will be our basket and how we are commercializing these products, because there are certain products which have expiry 4-5 years down the line. But still, we have to do the validation and make it ready. So,
okay. So, if you were to look at only the API intermediate segment, how do you see that business growing over the next, say, three to five-year period in terms of top-line growth and the profit growth?
See, we have invested almost 130 crore rupees was capitalized for a asset of API where we increase our capacity in last financial year, and also we are further increasing our capacity of intermediate manufacturing at our newer site and also our Wafi site. So continuously we are expecting this business segment to grow as India becomes more preferred source of buying these APIs and intermediates than from Europe or China, respectively, for API and intermediates. So that is where the growth will come. In the specific numbers, I think rather than going on this particular top line, I think we focus on bottom line. So we have to do products which are more profitable, and top line actually doesn't matter as much, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's your strategy, correct, correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, okay, fine, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. I have a clarification on the API and intermediate business. So till FY22, this business segment, API plus intermediates combined, was roughly 65% of the pharma segment revenue for RP Industries, which translated into 730 crore revenue in FY22. But in FY23, the reported revenue for these two segments is 550 CR. So just want to understand, was there a degrowth in FY23 and what led to it?
We will have to check the number and get back to you, Nitesh. So, Piyush, you would like to comment?
No, Aarti Industries, hi, this is Piyush. So Aarti Industries has, you know, was always reporting the numbers including GST. So that is one factor where, you know, where the GST part was included in the segment reporting, whereas we are reporting net of GST, so net sales. So that is one of the reasons why I think, you know, the numbers are basically not comparable apple to apple.
With Piyush, I think even after GST, there was some concern, so I think I'll reach out to you separately.
Yeah. If there is a further question, and we can work out the numbers.
Sure. I have one more follow-up on the intermediate business. So want to understand at a macro level, are you facing headwinds similar to the chemicals industry where prices are still soft and there is high Chinese dumping? So any challenges of that sort in our intermediate segment?
No, the intermediate that we are focusing largely are for newer range of products and partly are for captive consumption. And the market segment that they ultimately end consumer is customer is selling is largely regulated. So overall pressure there is not as much, but it is moderate pressure. It's not a very, very high pressure situation.
Understood. And so in the presentation, you had mentioned that there was drop in prices of certain products. So what products are these exactly? Because I think the xanthine prices were similar in Q1 and Q2. And also, what are the reasons? Is there an, is it temporary or is there an oversupply that will continue in coming quarters as well for these products?
Yeah, so basically the revenue declined slightly on account of drop of prices of xanthine derivative products, largely. And clearly the EBITDA has increased, so raw material prices have also come down more actually than the finished product prices. So we are able to maintain the healthy profitability and the EBITDA.
And further, you know, if you see the standalone results, then, you know, the decline is, you know, hardly anything. It's just flat. And on the consolidated, yes, you know, because we have a subsidiary, you know, which gets added to the top line. So there slowly the business is being, you know, ramped down and which will be routed to the Aarti Industries new subsidiary. So that is one reason, you know, if you see, compare the consolidated numbers, then, you know, it is the factors which are beyond the Aarti Pharma Labs results. So, and mainly the subsidiary, 100% subsidiary.
All right, that makes it clearer. Just one final question on the subsidiary front. So, EBITDA from subsidiaries is right now 18% for this quarter, and it's a significant contributor to console EBITDA now. What is the reason for this increase? Because in previous quarters, this was single digit. And is it sustainable or is this one-off, the 18% EBITDA margin?
No, that's not only the subsidiary. It's basically the joint venture in which we have 50% investment. The current
yes, I meant including that. Will it continue in coming quarters as well or is that sort of a one-off kind of gain somewhere?
Yeah, we will be continuing to do, you know, the associate company that we have, 50-50 joint venture, that's a significantly large company where also we have almost 350 crore worth of business and we are seeing stable business there for this year.
Alright. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participant, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking the time to join us on our Q2 FY24 earnings call. Hope we have addressed all your queries, and if you have any further questions, please feel free to contact our investor relations team and they will address the same. We look forward to connecting with you again in the next quarter. Happy Diwali and wish you a prosperous new year. Thank you.
On behalf of Valorem Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.